We're going to show her bloopers next time. Before we get started, I do want to just point out who the youth leaders are. So Dan and Stacy, Nathan, if you guys will stand up, Alex, Nicole and Micah, and my husband, Ben. These are our youth leaders, and they help every Thursday. Yeah, give it up. Without them, I couldn't do what I do, so I'm very thankful for them all. Tonight, three of us will be sharing with you, and we're really excited about the opportunity that we've been given. We've been planning different Youth Thursdays for a while now. Ryan actually came up with the idea back in October, and so we're just running with it. We're excited where God's going to take these nights, and like you heard in the announcements, Jonathan Bergio will be coming next month, and then in March, Carrie Cardinale is going to be coming to share, and then we're just working on stuff for the rest of the year for these nights, and so, yeah, we're excited. Tonight, we want to talk to you about the race. That's the title of tonight's message, is the race, and we're going to base that off of Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for you already being here and showing up. God, I thank you for your kindness, for your love, for your grace and your mercy. God, as we share tonight, take us out of the equation. God, more of you and less of us tonight. And let us walk out of here knowing that we're able to run and finish this race. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're all in this race, right? We all want to get better at what God has called us to do. And we all want to do the very best that we can while we're here. So tonight, we're going to give you four elements that hopefully will encourage you to continue running the race. And the first element that we are going to need, if you ever go on a, if you ever hang around the CrossFit, they're going to try to get you to run a 5K or something like that. And so what happens is when you start anything that you want to be good at, you need to find a coach, right? I found this quote. It says, a coach plays a key role in an athlete's entourage. The quality of the relationship between a coach and an athlete has a crucial effect on the athlete's satisfaction, motivation, and performance. A coach has a crucial effect on an athlete's performance. Who are we allowing to speak into our lives? God is the ultimate coach, right? But here on earth, he's placed assistant coaches, if you will, to help guide us and help lead us along the way. As a dance teacher, my job at the beginning of the year is to assess each class, each dancer that comes in, and to make them the very best dancer that they can be in May at the recital. And through that process, as their coach, I'm to help them, I'm to guide them, I'm to continually tell them, point your toes, straighten your legs, pull up, spot your head, point your toes, straighten your arms, squeeze your stomach, like every week, you know, and you're guiding them, you're helping them. And sometimes it can seem like a constant, like, but as back from my end, I'm just trying to help them be the very best dancer that they can be come May at the recital. And so a good coach is positive, enthusiastic, supportive, trusting, focused, goal-oriented, knowledgeable, observant, respectful, patient, and a clear communicator. And these people in our lives are the leaders, the pastors, the teachers that want to help us go to the next level in Him. They see our potential that God has given us even when we don't see it ourselves. And those are the kind of coaches that we want in our lives. So are we accountable to those that God has placed in our lives? Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. So many of us, we want to go higher, farther, but we can't submit to the leadership that's above us, or we want to fight. Trust me, I've fought leadership enough in my life to know, you know, there's resistance sometimes, you know, because they see something in you that maybe you don't see, and you're like, I don't think so. So you want to, like, push back. And sometimes you have to push through that a lot of times. And God is like, yo, I put these people in your life for a reason. They're here to help you. They're here to guide you. They're here to watch you grow. That's how he speaks to me. Yo, Aaron, what are you doing? And so I heard this quote a long time ago, and it really, really stuck with me. It says, we have to get under what God has placed over us so that we can get over what God has placed under us. We have to get under what God has placed over us so that we can get over what God has placed under us. This is not a bad thing. The reason that I'm up here, Nicole's up here, Alex is going to be speaking, is because we've come under the leadership of City Church. And that's why we're here. We have to get under what God has placed over us so we can get over what God has placed under us. We want to go higher. Find good leadership. Find accountability in our life. Who's your coach? Is God your coach tonight? We talked about this last week in youth. We're either hot or we're cold. We're hot or not, right? There's no lukewarm in there. So who's your coach? Is God your ultimate coach? And then who's your assistant coaches in your life? Are we submitting to the authority, the leadership that God has placed over us? So the first thing in running this race is to find a coach.
That was good. The second thing you're going to need is dedication. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians 9. I'll get there in just a second. Are you dedicated to the race? Be dedicated not to just start the race, but to finish it strong. So 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. That's loaded, but what I really want to go at is to run for the eternal prize. Don't run for the things that we get so caught up in. Don't run for worldly success. Run for an eternal prize. So you could ask, what is the eternal prize? I really think the eternal prize is eternity in heaven with God. And are you committed? Are you loyal? Are you wholeheartedly living to win the prize, to serve God till the finish? The way that the Bible says that we can win that eternal prize, that we can get to heaven, is by believing in Jesus Christ, by serving God, and by obeying him. And sometimes, you know, it can be easy to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I call him my Savior. But the serving and the obeying, that's dedication. That's going for the long haul. That's going to the end. And that's going to take standing out from the crowd. That's going to take saying no to something that for everyone else might seem okay and harmless, but for you could cut you out of the race. That God's word says could cut you out of the race. So runners, they make a choice to be dedicated to all parts of the race. And even when it's not popular, even when it's not what everyone's doing. Romans 5:8 says, but God, he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, if we're going to run the race to the end strong, we can't lose our beginner faith. We can't lose our beginning. It's important to start, but it's important to finish. And the only way to get to the end is to keep that, to keep and remember where God pulled us out of, to remember what that verse says, that not just where we are right now, but that he loved us when we didn't deserve it. Don't deserve it now. He loved us when we were at our worst. And if you have felt that, allow that to be what keeps you dedicated, what keeps you focused, what keeps you going. How can we love him back more than to take the dedication and say, because you saw me at my worst, I'm going to be dedicated and go all the way? Because truth is, in a race, in this life, sometimes you'll hit moments where it'd be easier to give up than to push and be dedicated and keep going to what God's called you to. And you need to remember that God is dedicated to you. He's dedicated to you. He's dedicated to what you're doing. It takes dedicated, unwavering faith, sacrifice, and it definitely takes hard work.
Good evening, City Church. So, when I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to speak on, my topic is hard work, and I felt God really say to look into my passion, hard work, and Christian walk. So my passion is running. I love to run. When I was 14, I did my first half marathon. And then 14 to 15, I did two more half marathons. And then when I was 16, I decided, I think I'm ready for a full marathon. So I completed the full marathon when I was 16 years old. There's four points that you need. There's four things that you need to have to run a marathon. The first one is physical strength. You need to be physically strong. Your legs and your body need to be up there so you can run you can run 26.2 miles, or it took me 4.5 hours to run it. So you need to be physically strong. You need to be mentally strong. When I was running the marathon, I hit 20 miles, and I realized that I had 6.2 more miles to go, and I hit a wall. So a wall is basically like your mind is done. You don't want to go anymore, and you basically quit on yourself. But one verse I kept in mind was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that was really personal for me. That just pushed me right through. You need dedication. You need to be able to put the miles in and put the hours in that it takes to run a marathon. I remember my dad would come in at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, Alex, you ready for a 20-mile run? And I didn't want to do it at all. I had no part of it. And one last thing that holds it together is hard work. Hard work actually, it all holds, it's like glue. And it all holds the last three points together. And the hard work, you need to put in those miles and you need to put in those hours. And without that, running a marathon is really hard to do. So I want to take those four points that I just talked about, and I want to carry them into our Christian walk. See where I'm going with this, right? So I want to talk about physically strong. So in our Christian walk, we need to be ready and willing to do what God calls us to do. We need to be able to go wherever God calls us to go. In the Bible, it says to take care of our body and that our body is a temple. And we just need to be ready for whatever God has for us. We need to be mentally strong. We need to be mentally strong for when the world tries to come against us. And we need to know the Bible and not waver at any little hit in the road we hit. We need to be dedicated to Jesus in our relationship. We need to be dedicated, and we need to really dig into the Bible. And we need to worship him and pray with him and just be dedicated to his relationship, our relationship. We need to have hard work. And again, that's the glue that holds all of them together. We need, as Christians, we need to be down in the dirt and in the dark. And we need to spread the light of God to all the unbelievers. And we need to be the leaders. As Christians, we're called to lead people. And there's this one quote. It says, a good leader doesn't just tell people what to do. A good leader leads people and shows them how to do it. So I truly believe if you have those 4 points, if you are physically strong, mentally strong, if you're dedicated, if you have hard work, you're going to see your connection with God grow even more. And it's just, the Christian walk is hard, right? It's really hard. And if you have those 4 points, it's going to make it that much easier because you're going to know what the devil has around the corner, what the earth, what the world is going to throw at you, and you're going to know what God says about it, and you can take that and say, devil, listen, God says this, and I'm not going to do this, and you can kind of stomp him down. So, yeah.
Stomp them down. So we have find a coach, dedication, it takes hard work, and the last point is just do it. Well, whose slogan is that? Nike, right? Just do it. What are we waiting for? What's stopping us from running that race? Muhammad Ali once said, he who is not courageous enough to take risks in life will accomplish nothing. Moses said to Joshua before he went in to take over a land in Deuteronomy 31:6, he told him this, be strong and have strength of heart. Do not be afraid or shake with fear because of them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will be faithful to you. He will not leave you alone. He had to take a risk and know that God was not going to leave him alone. Esther had to take a risk when she walked into the king's courts for such a time as this. She said, if I perish, I perish, but who knows? I might be here for such a time as this. It was a risk that she had to take and know that God was going to be with her. What are we afraid of? Why are we so afraid to step out in faith? Why are we so afraid to run the race that God has set out before us? Because God's with us every step of the way. What is holding us back from doing what God has called you to do, from being who God has called you to be? Is it our friends? Who we hang around with is so important. They can hold us back or they can make us better. 1 Corinthians says, 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So be careful who you're hanging out with. Is it yourself? We can talk ourselves in and out of almost anything. We really can. We are our worst critics. At least I am. But we have to know where our value comes from if we're going to run this race. In Psalm 139, 13 through 16, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book they were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when yet there was none of them. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's children. We are his masterpieces. Don't think for one second that if we step out in faith that he's not on our side. He created us to be who he's created us to be. So what else could be stopping us? Is it fear? There's scripture for that too. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then in Psalm it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Listen, we only fail if we never try. That's the only time we fail, is if we never try. We have one life to live, right? YOLO. So what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that life that we've been given? So the title of this is The Race. This last point is called Just Do It. So I'm going to share with you the story of how Just Do It came to be. It's a little morbid, but I'm just going to share it anyway. So the phrase was actually inspired by the final words of a criminal who demanded the death penalty after committing two murders. He grew up in Portland and ran around doing criminal acts in the country, and he was in Utah, where he murdered a man and a woman, and he was sent to jail and put before a firing squad. They asked him if he had any final thoughts, and he looked at them and said, "Let's do this." And so the owner of Nike said, "I just changed the words to just do it." So here you have a man put before a firing squad, and he says, "What are your final words?" "Let's do it." He didn't have anything to say. He didn't have anything. He didn't try to talk his way out of it. He didn't try to rewrite the script for his life. He just said, "Let's do it." I'm not saying to do that, go that far. But what I'm saying is that mentality. What are we waiting for? Just do it. Don't talk yourself out of who God has created you to be. Don't talk yourself out of the race that God has given you to run. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let your friends stop you. Don't let you stop you. Just do it. Just do it. You want to go on a missions trip? Just do it. You want to witness to your friends? Just do it. You want to witness in your office? Just do it. You want to start a business? Just do it. Get around people that are going to encourage you, that are going to love you, that are going to build you up. And quit talking yourself out of what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be. He wants to take you higher, and you have what it takes because He's inside of you. His Holy Spirit is guiding you, walking with you, running the race with you. That's why it says, "I'm here. Don't be afraid. I'm with you." Why would He give us a race to run and not be there with us to run it? He wouldn't do that. He's given us all exactly what we need to run the race that we've been given to run. Many people maybe be able to do what you can do, but no one's going to do it like you can do it. No one. Find a coach. Stay dedicated. It's going to take some hard work. I tell the kids all the time, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. It's going to take some hard work. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So find a coach. Find somebody that's going to speak into your life. Get under leadership, good leadership, godly leadership. Stay dedicated to the cause, the purpose. Hard work. Get working. Nothing's going to happen when you're sitting on your butt, right? Get to work. And then just do it. Just do it. Don't let this get in the way of what God has called you to do and God has called you to be. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, that you've allowed us to run this race that you've been given to us. I just ask that, God, you open up our hearts. God, maybe we don't know the purpose that you have, but God, I just pray that you enable us just to keep taking one step at a time in this race, God. I just ask for any confusion just to be lifted from anybody's eyes and their minds, God. I just ask that you just take everything out of our minds that could be wrong and put in the right things, God, and help us to run this race. Help us to finish this race, God. And that when we see you face to face, that you're able to say, "Well done. Well done." I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to pray with you. If I can have all the leaders that I spoke of in the beginning come on up here. If you need prayer for anything tonight, for anything, for any, maybe you're having trouble with some of those points, or maybe you don't know what your, you know, calling is in life. We want to pray with you. We want to see you succeed. We want to do life with you. That's what we're here for, right? So if you need prayer for anything, we want you to come on down. Pastor, if you want to come up.
Wasn't that just fabulous? Let's all stand together. Yeah. Let's all stand together. We got some incredible gifting here. That last point that Aaron said, say it again. I wrote it down. About talent. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work. I love that. And all of these young people up here have really worked hard, and we just want to see them go to the distance. You know what I want to do, though? And thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up. I want some parents just to come down. I don't want you to, I want you to kind of come up and just stand kind of in front of where Ryan is here. And then any of the kids, anybody wants to come down for prayer. But I want some of the parents just as a step of thankfulness. And maybe your kids weren't up here, but you can still come down. And I just want you to line right up over there. We're just going to give God thanks for that. And then if you need prayer tonight, just in a moment, I want you to come down here. This is a great, great atmosphere. You know, many times I've seen God do things when young people lay their hands, even on an adult, and pray over them. So I'm going to pray right now. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to get out of your seat. Come on down. And parents, I just want you to line up there. All I want you to do is just give thanks for a moment, whether your kids participated or not tonight. This is a great moment. Maybe your kids are still young. This is a great moment for you just to come down and begin to pray. And when these get done praying for others, they're just going to step up and lay their hand on you and pray for you. Come on, parents. Come on. Father, I just want to say thank you. Right while I'm praying, I want you to come on down here. Walk down and let's let these young people pray over you tonight. Father, I want to say thank you for your power and your grace, God, in every single life that is here. I thank you, God, tonight for releasing into these young people, Lord, a dimension of your glory and of the goodness of God, the anointing that breaks and shatters yokes. Come on down. If you need prayer, just come right up to one of these young people here. Let them pray over you. Just come quickly. Father, I want to say thank you tonight as well for our young people. I want to say thank you for our kids, our youth, God. Lord, that you're protecting them and that you're using them in a beautiful and a powerful way. I pray, Lord, that tonight that no weapon formed against them will prosper. I declare over their lives the blessing and the goodness of God. I pray over for every young person tonight, God, that they're going to go beyond the distance, that, Lord, you're going to keep them from the things of this world and keep them clean in the sight of Almighty God. I pray, God, that you will protect them from those who would want to hurt them and those who would want to pull them back, God. I just ask you, Lord, tonight, to do great and mighty things. Ben, just keep on playing with me, honey. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord. I thank you for increase in the youth ministry. I pray for increase, God, influence in their lives, God. Lord, I pray for increase of every good and perfect gift to come their way. And we give you thanks for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Come on. I want to just hear your voices tonight as you pray. I want some of the adults, just begin to open up your mouth and just pray. We got just a couple minutes. Let's pray for our young people as well. We give you thanks, God, tonight. We give you thanks, Lord, tonight. We give you thanks, Lord, tonight. We give you thanks. Youth, any of you, I just want to lay my hand on you and pray over you real quick. Just come real quickly. I just want to impart something into your lives tonight for the glory of God. Come on down, youth. Come quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.